This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we head into the happy hour on the happiest day of the week. It's finally a Friday. It's Friar Friday. It's Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Got a little while to go here before we turn it over to Sam Levitt and the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show. Padres and Diamondbacks tonight. Padres looking to snap a five-game losing streak, longest of the season. Last time they lost five in a row. They won seven of their next nine. Let's hope that history repeats.
That's true. That's a good point.
Let's hope that does happen starting tonight with Michael King going up against the young right-hander Brandon Faught.
You know,
P-F-A-A-D-T. That's a lot of wasted letters, I must tell you.
Oh my gosh.
You know, could have just spelled it. Could have just spelled his name F-O-T, Faught.
Faught.
Yeah,
or
much easier.
F-O-U-G-H-T.
Or that.
Faught.
Would have been simpler, but anyway.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I did too. Padres baseball tonight and then on into the weekend. We'll see, as I said a little bit ago, the Padres come into tonight's game still remarkably clinging to the number six spot and final wild card in the National League. There are four teams, though, that are only a half game behind them. One of them is the Diamondbacks. So if the Padres lose tonight, that's it. They're no longer in possession of a wild card spot. Yeah, season's over. So anyway, lots of baseball to discuss. And Mike Shildt talking with the media before the game today. Manny Machado's not in the starting lineup tonight for a second consecutive game. Now, he did pinch hit in the eighth inning last night, very dramatically, too.
Wait until you hear what Kyle Higashioka said about it.
Yeah, Kyle Higashioka was
really
our Friar Friday interview.
It's really funny.
We're going to have him on here in a little bit. But, yeah, Manny came, you know, up the steps, and, you know, the spotlight came on.
Heavens opened up.
I'm not kidding you. That's exactly what it felt like. The ground ball back to the mound, though, was not what he had in mind.
I actually felt like he was going to come through.
You kind of did. You kind of had a feeling. But, you know, how healthy is he really? Mike Shildt with the latest right here.
Got out of that. He's done. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things like you want to test it and see how it feels. But how hard do you test it? Because you don't want to aggravate it. And yesterday wasn't really a sprint, so it was, you know. But he's doing some stuff in the pool, and he's doing some testing that people far smarter than I in our medical department are helping him with. So you know, they have a good understanding of what it's going to take for his strength to come back. Yes. Yeah, he's taking some swings. Now, the volume's not high, but, yeah, he's taking some swings.
With those limitations, though, why would you – is there still consideration of putting in the IL, or do you think that you're past that?
I don't think we're past it. I think it's still a day-to-day situation. I think we're going to look up and, you know, I don't know what that sweet spot is. You know, it's a 10-day IL. There's an art to, like, when do you backdate it? And then there's, like, a figuring out a place when there's, like, okay, we think he's going to be back in 2 or 3 days, and that's where we got to trust the player and the medical staff.
You mentioned Manny wanted to be there for his teammates. Do you think that him yesterday, any part of that was, like, a sense of urgency that he might be feeling with the sort of the struggles that the team has had over the stretch?
Yeah, that's a question for him. I think he does that regardless of situation. I think he's a guy that wants to compete. I mean, his club's not hadn't won as many games lately, so I think he wants to go up, and that's what high achievers do, right? They want to, if we're up by 10 games, we're lost a couple in a row, we want to go out and figure out how we're going to compete. And I think last night he did exactly that.
All right, so that's the latest on Manny Machado. We'll see. He's not in the lineup tonight. I didn't really even notice it because I was, you know, in a depression at the time after he had grounded to the pitcher. But he did have to run to first base, right?
Did he run?
Yeah, he ran. Of course he did. Yeah, I mean, he got thrown out by quite a bit, but that's not because he wasn't running. I mean,
well, I figured
he was running. So I mean, he can obviously he can run. He can obviously swing a bat. But how well can he do these things is what, you know, is going to have, it's all going to come down to.
The Manny haters have absolutely loved this whole thing that happened.
Really?
Because he actually ran out a play, and look what happened. He got injured. That's what the haters are saying. So he's a $30 million.
So he should go back to not running things out? Because they hated that, too.
I know. There's no winning. There's no winning. Yeah.
That's what makes you a hater.
I'm gonna get off the internet. I'm gonna get off the internet this.
You are not
this weekend.
You never.
I really do because I have been bothered by the internet this week.
You better look on the internet. You better use the internet this week because next week you're not going to be able to pick up your arm to hold your phone.
I have my left arm. I know. I have the worst part about the surgery is that it's my right arm.
Are you a right-handed person? Yes. Scroller. Phone scroller. Normally scroll with the right hand.
Equal opportunity.
Equal
hand.
Scrolling.
Yes.
You know, now that I think about it, I never thought of this before. I'm left-handed.
Yes.
But I've never scrolled with my left hand or thumb. I scroll only right-handed. So, for what
do
that's
you,
worth.
When you scroll on your phone, do you usually put your pinky underneath your phone to hold it?
Like that. So I guess my pinky is under the phone.
Did you know that the majority
pinky
of people...
Pinky is under the phone and then use the thumb like that.
Yeah, the majority of people don't realize it, but they have made their pinky their holding pinky for the phone so that they can keep it up. Like, they're like cell phones are developing new injuries because...
So people are getting pinky injuries because they're doing
this? I've read this, that people... Because, like, someone tweeted one time... Look at your hand on your phone right now.
Yeah,
and
I see.
If your hand, it's just crazy that we all kind of default to that. Anyway, way off topic.
I don't know. Does Pinky Higgins do that?
Pinky Higgins didn't even know what a cell phone
Pinky
was.
Pinky Higgins has got way too many mentions on the show today.
Did you, what was the Cardinal guy you were showing me with the suit on?
He was some guy in their war leaders.
Like, there were actually guys that used to play baseball with a tie on.
They did back in the 1800s.
So funny.
We've come a long way.
Yes.
All right, I got something for you, and then we're going to get to our Kyle Higashioka interview. But here's my question. Who is going to be handling the kickoffs this year for the Kansas Chiefs?
No one?
No, somebody's got to kick off.
I'm confused. I got to see this kickoff a couple times to get used to it.
Well, that's the whole reason I asked. Because the normal answer would be Harrison Butker.
I thought you meant returning. Okay.
No, I said, who's going to be kicking off? The normal answer would be Harrison Butker, and the answer is not actually correct.
You're right. I've seen this.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the first team, maybe not the last, that are considering using a safety or a strong safety or even a linebacker to kick off.
It's crazy.
Not use a kicker. And you're saying, why would they do that? Well, apparently, the NFL's new kickoff rule is changing the way teams are thinking about deploying their personnel on kickoffs. Now, Scraby, I don't even know how to best describe what kickoffs are. This is actually happening this year? Or are they just trying it?
I think they're doing it this year.
I think they're actually doing it also.
Yeah.
Where the kickoff team and the receiving team now all will line up 10 yards apart from each other.
Yeah.
And this is designed to, I mean, a kickoff is going to look unlike anything you've ever seen before unless you're very familiar with the XFL, which I'm not. So I to me, this is going to be so different.
It is.
But what they're noticing, according to the tape, and according to the film of XFL kickoffs, they're all noticing that XFL kickers have been involved in about 25% of the tackles now.
Hmm.
So the Chiefs don't want Harrison Butker involved in tackles.
What? This is
so
football.
They may use somebody else to kick off.
This is football.
You want Harrison Butker to go out there and try and tackle these guys?
I want all kickers to do their job and kick.
Well, here's your guy, Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens.
He's not my guy.
Well, he will be after this. Justin Tucker noting that XFL kickers have been involved in so many tackles, said today that he's been bulking up, getting ready for the season.
Good for him. That's a real football player.
That's a real football player. He said, this might be surprising to a lot of you guys and a lot of my teammates because I don't hang out in the weight room frequently. He said, but now I got to get some shrugs, get the traps going just a little bit, just to make sure I'm prepared for a little more contact. Anyway,
like
it's interesting.
It is interesting.
I hadn't thought of it. The Chiefs thought of it first. They're the ones that said, we may not use Harrison Butker on kickoffs. We may be using a strong safety because they want somebody there as a really good tackler.
Someone just put this on the chat, but I didn't realize it, but Matt Araiza is a Kansas City Chief.
And Matt Araiza can tackle.
Yeah, and he can.
We saw that here at San Diego State, so maybe he'll be the kickoff guy for the Chiefs.
God.
Yeah. So anyway, kickoffs are going to be totally different now than ever before. I'm trying to look at here for a description because I can't really describe how it's actually going to be.
If you just Google XFL kickoff, you'll find it.
Yeah, Google XFL kickoff. You'll see a picture of what kickoffs are going to look like. It's going to be very strange to you.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is what they've discovered now. The kickers are, because most kickers on a kickoff are the only way they're ever involved is if the guy breaks through everybody. And then the kicker's like the last guy trying to chase him down.
They're like the guy with the matador.
Right.
hoping that someone else gets
now,
to him.
With this new rule, apparently kickers are, much more involved in making a tackle.
Can I update something real quick that we did during the Big Five?
Yes, please.
It would be the Josh Jacobs story. So I was sent this story after the fact, and apparently the NFL is denying that they told Josh Jacobs and other players that you can't wear green.
So, in Brazil, where they're going for the football game.
The NFL is denying everything. I don't think that Josh Jacobs just made it up.
I think he did.
That would be the craziest.
I think it's real possible that Josh Jacobs just thought he heard that somewhere and is.
That's a pretty specific thing to hear.
It's pretty specific or pacific.
Or pacific.
But yeah, I don't know.
But I
don't know.
I know
that, the gang clothes and color wearing schemes is a real thing.
Yes, of course.
In different parts of the world, including our own parts of the world.
Everywhere in the world.
So yeah. But anyway, all right. So he had said that we can't wear green, which is why we discussed it in the Big Five. What are the Eagles and Packers going to wear? Because they both wear green.
Yeah.
But the NFL says it's not true.
I don't believe them.
All right. We got one final segment. Included in the final segment, not only our visit with Kyle Higashioka, but the end of an era. That's right. It's a sad, sad day, people. We'll explain it all after traffic when Gwen and Chris returns to wrap things up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a very famous era in entertainment comes to an end today. Tell you about that. But first, our Fire Friday interview with one Kyle Higashioka of the San Diego Padres. Shared some good stuff with us, including how his team's doing.
Yeah, yes.
I couldn't figure out how to
he also
best
tells
introduce
us,
that.
He also tells us how fun it was to see Manny.
Well, I don't
out.
Think it was fun for him. He was the one pinch
true.
Hit for.
That's true.
But, what happened last night when Manny made his dramatic appearance to pinch hit, and also life trying to catch Matt Waldron's knuckleball. It all comes up right now with Mr. Higashioka.
Where do we start here? Let's start where this team is right now. You guys lost five straight. I mean, what is the mindset for a ball club? You know, you've lost five straight, and they've been close games. They could have gone either way in each of the five. They haven't gone our way, so to speak. So, I mean, how do you approach each day as you guys come in to get ready for the next game?
The encouraging thing is that we've been right in it for every one of those five games. It's not like we're getting blown out or we're playing bad baseball per se. It's just it comes down to the little things, in those games. And so, every time that we have a chance to learn from one of those instances where we, we either don't come through in the big spot or we, give up a run we didn't want to. It's important that we just learn from those moments in the game and we improve upon it.
Kyle, you guys, you especially been through the ups and downs of a season so many times. The ups are good. The downs are a little tougher. But I think the fans, we go crazy, probably too crazy over wins and get too upset over losses. How do you guys couch things amongst yourselves in that locker room when you're scuffling a little like this?
Yeah, I think especially those of us with a good amount of seasons under our belt, it's kind of like you gotta temper those emotions a little bit because that it's a really long season, and a stretch like this where you lose five games in a row can easily be counteracted, when you go on a streak where you win 8 or 10 games in a row. So it's just about the entire body of work at the end of the year. So it's a fight for consistency and just being at your best every day.
Kyle Higashioka joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Kyle, you've been tasked with catching Matt Waldron every fifth day. And he's been on a little bit of a heater here as of late. In terms of what you're seeing from behind the plate, what has allowed him to have the type of success here in recent starts than maybe he was having a little bit earlier in the season?
I think he's just growing in confidence. He's new to the league, so it's like anybody who's it's their first year or two. There's going to be a little break-in period. Guys are gonna see other teams adjusting to you, and so you need to find a way to make the readjustment back to them. And I think he's just grown in confidence in terms of attacking the zone and not letting little things get to him as much, hits and when those happen, he's done a lot better job of keeping a really solid mindset and approach and working through those tough innings. So I think that's been a really big key for his success.
Kyle Higashioka is with us. A couple of things on that, Kyle. First of all, we were, we kind of surmised that one of the things that's helped Waldron a little bit is the fact that he's kind of just gone ahead and said, okay, I'm a knuckleballer. And he's kind of just, made peace with that. And it's kind of helped him be a little more successful. Number two, part of that, how are you at peace with catching the knuckleball? And has it been at all difficult for you to kind of make that adjustment catching that pitch?
Yeah, it's still... still really difficult to catch. But I will say I've gotten a lot more comfortable with it. And, over the past several starts, I've just constantly been trying to tweak, stuff in my setup or my personal approach to catching it to try to help me, not let some of those go by. So I don't think it'll ever be easy, but I definitely have become a lot more comfortable. And so now, you know, I'm really, I'm actually really enjoying catching them. It's kind of a fun way to, like a cat and mouse game to play.
Yeah. And he's unique from the standpoint of, I know we're talking about him embracing a knuckleball, but he uses his other pitches in his repertoire. And I got to ask you, you know, I grew up watching some knuckleballers in the league. Seemed like catchers always had a different glove for the knuckleballers. You've elected to stay with the same catching glove that every catcher has. Is that because Matt uses the rest of his pitches as much as he does, or is that just a comfort thing for you?
Partly because by the numbers, he throws more normal pitches than knuckleballs on average. But also, we didn't really have a glove broken in, so it's like we're working on it, you know. So just in case I want to use it down the road, we're working on getting one broken in. But we didn't have a glove.
That's crazy. Kyle Higashioka's with us. Kyle, there's been a little. Well, first I want to ask you this. Just last night, you hit the home run. You almost hit two. I thought you had a second one. The drama in the eighth inning. Can you let us in on this? Were you told ahead of time that Manny might hit for you? Because the way that kind of came around to us watching the game, it was like a bit of a dramatic situation. You know, you went out, and then all of a sudden, here came Manny.
Yeah, yeah. I felt like Kurt Gibson was walking down the tunnel. getting ready to hit a three-run bomb. But, no, I saw him walk in the dugout before I was on deck. I think, like, a few hitters before me. And so I had an idea that he might be, good enough to pinch it in that situation. And, you know, anytime you have Manny Machado on the bench, I mean, it's tough to not put him in that situation. So, it didn't go our way, obviously, but a guy like Manny, you trust him in any situation.
Kyle Higashioka joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Kyle, we talked a little bit about the homer you hit yesterday. You had a little bit of a rut there, and you seemingly are starting to come out of it. I mean, what are some of the things you've been trying on the offensive side to kind of get yourself in this kind of, you know, range that you've been in the last couple games?
Just trying to simplify things at the plate a little bit. And, trying to really hone in on swinging at better pitches, and also not trying to do too much. I know, you know, two of my last three hits have been homers, but I'm not trying to do that. I'm really just trying to make solid contact, and it's kind of funny how that happens, though.
Yeah.
Kyle, real quick before we let you go, and you know you got work to do, you played in New York, now you're playing in San Diego, you're from Southern California. There's been some controversy. You guys have brought up how much more difficult it is to play in New York, the media versus the media in San Diego. Where do you come down on this? I don't mean to ask you such a tricky question with only a minute or so left, but can you make a little bit of a comparison yet?
I mean, there's just more media attention in New York, you know what I mean? I don't know if it's, I mean, I guess you know, some people obviously do find it more difficult, but a lot of it's also, you know, the way you handle the media. If you're going to be combative and you know, defensive, if they ask tough questions, then it's going to be a tough go for you. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're just kind of interpreting what they see on the field. And, you know, if you make a bad play, you got to answer for it. So, you know, that's all it is. But with all the media attention comes a great deal of positives too. I mean, you know, the fans are great there. They love the team. So, you know, just like in San Diego, you know, the fans, they care. So, you know, that's what you want.
No doubt. Kyle, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us, man, and we'll let you get to work. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, awesome having Kyle Higashioka with us today, our Fire Friday interview. And Padres, Diamondbacks coming up. Sam Lovett, Eco Water, SoCal pregame shows shortly. All right, before we get to that, tonight is the final night, Scraby. After more than 40 years and 8,000 episodes, the legendary Pat Sajak says goodbye to Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of Fortune!
I play it on my phone all the time. I got a Wheel of Fortune game on my phone.
He is 77 years young.
Wow.
He started the gig when he was 34. A lot of people don't know this. I do, because I grew up in L.A. He was the weather guy at the CBS affiliate in Los Angeles.
Man, he's got two of the cushiest gigs of all time. Weather guy in L.A.
Right.
And then Wheel
Where
of Fortune
all he had to do
host.
Is say it'll be sunny
yeah,
tomorrow.
Exactly.
And he went from there to Wheel of Fortune host in 1981. That
wow.
is unbelievable. Over 8,000 episodes. So good luck to Pat Sajak. And every now and again, watcher of Wheel of Fortune. I'm more of a Jeopardy guy myself, Scray. But
it's because you're too smart for us.
I'm too smart. But nobody could make a letter sound more interesting than Pat Sajak.
Or was Vanna White the one that made
no,
it?
No, Vanna turned the letter, but Pat was the one that went N. There's nobody who could do it like him.
He did over enunciate all
oh,
of his
yes,
letters.
He was so good at it. Give me a O.
Oh,
would you like to buy a vowel? E.
Just
Pat
Sajak, sure.
Man, he had it together.
You know, I
guy.
Think Vanna had it the hardest. I mean, she had to remember where everything was behind
no
the
kidding.
Board.
Oh, Vanna, no, no kidding.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, we're overdoing it
okay.
now. Okay. All right, here we go. Padres, let's get back in the win column.
Oh, yes, please.
We'll be back on Monday to wrap it all up. Scraby's having a surgery Monday morning,
That's
so
right.
send him best wishes. He will certainly not be here Monday. He yeah. better not be here Tuesday.
Why?
Because you need to rest and recover.
I might be back Tuesday.
All right.
Not in studio.
Not in studio, but we'll have you as soon as possible. We wish you the best of
Thank
luck
you.
There.
Thank you.
And wish all of you a good weekend. For Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, Chris Ello. Sayonara.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.